Welcome, Grace Espanol. Thank you for being with us this morning. This morning we have the privilege of starting a new series that we're going to go ahead and follow the entire year with a couple weeks spent on other topics on marriage, on encouragement, but we're going to spend the entire year studying the book of Acts, and this morning we're focusing on Acts chapter 2. And it's a little bit strange to start in chapter 2 and then go to chapter 1, but you'll see that it has meaning. If you'll go ahead and stand with us, please, and we're going to go ahead and read. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 41 and following. This book, in another church, we spent 2 years going chapter to chapter, but we're going to try and do it here. In a single year, we're going to go through the entire book in a single year. We're going to go through learning what it has to teach us, and we're going to go ahead and read chapter 2. And unfortunately, we still don't have the devotional books printed. However, they are online, and they are daily devotional books, and it'll show you exactly what we need to be doing day by day as far as studying the book of Acts. And you can go ahead and print it off from the downloadable version. Meanwhile, we're going to be trying to get it published ourselves. This is verse 41 and following. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, in this morning, we ask that you would speak through your word. We ask that you would teach us, that you would show us your truth, that you would correct us, and that you would show us your will as your church, and that which we have just finished reading would become real in our lives, that we might be able to apply everything that you are teaching us, not just as your disciple, but as your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can go ahead and take a seat. A group of 120 people, most without much education, many of them had seen or heard the Lord Jesus Christ. This group of people formed what we call the church, or what they called the assembly. And these were the ones that were called to carry the good news to the whole world, and they did it. And the very least we know is that the 12 apostles all carried the message of Christ to the whole world. The last of them to go was one called Paul, and he carried the message to many, many places. And in a period of 10 years, he planted at least 14 new churches and traveled more or less 3,000 miles on foot, sometimes in a boat. And this is in the book of Acts. But this church that we're talking about has not disappeared. That church is us. We're the product of those apostles. And the message that they preached came to us. And that's why we're here. Now we are the ones in this church. And this series is called Our Response to the Book of Acts. And what are we meant to do? What are we supposed to do as a church? Of this, there are more or less 7.2 billion people in the world today. And I know that there are some people that think the United States is larger than that and has more people than that, but in the truth, it's not the biggest. But out of those 7.2 billion people in the world, there are about 3 billion people who have not heard the message of salvation in Christ. Can you believe it? This is the message that we perceive to carry to the world. And this is what the book of Acts is all about. It talks about the beginning of the church, not the end of it. And it shows us our call, our response, our mission that God has given us in this world. And the book of Acts shows us how the Church of Christ must carry his message of being and making disciples in the world in which we live. And this is why it's important that we study it. But maybe we should say it in a more active way. We must go making and being disciples. This tells us and this shows that we're disciples that are growing. And that we are growing daily in the likeness of our Lord. This is why Grace Espanol exists. This is our mission here at this church. That's why we're here. And when I came here, I was asking the Lord to take me to a church that wouldn't be passive. I don't want to just keep up a church or passively just maintain a church. But no, I prayed for a church that would desire to carry the message of Christ to the whole world. This is that church. You are that church. And I truly believe that this is what God wants of us. He wants a church that might be disciples, but that also makes other disciples. And not just here in Tyler, but we are called to go until the ends of the earth. And in 2 more weeks, we're going to celebrate our first anniversary. Pastor Doug is going to talk to us in two weeks. But here are the goals that we want you to look at that, Lord willing, we're going to accomplish this this year. This is not something unrealistic. We've been pretty conservative with these goals. None of this really is going to take any kind of magic or anything. But you can go ahead and see. We want to increase our attendance to 150 people. We want to have at least 5 communities. We want to have at least 30 people who are discipling others. This is apart from sharing the gospel. We want to have a group of faithful men who serve in church, at least 4 of whom serve in preaching. And we want to have a small group in another city like Kilgore that may eventually be another location. As you can see, none of these are impossible. This last one is a little bit of a reach, but and some of you are going to ask, how can this be possible with a little church of just 100 people? But as we're going to see in the Old Testament, the Apostle Paul planted churches that were small enough, but even those small churches went ahead and planted even more churches. And there are many people who believe that we wouldn't be able to do it. But this is not a question of how many we are. This is not a question of how many people come to this church. This is a question of the power of the message and the depth of the message of the Lord Jesus. All of this is possible when we all live our lives being and making disciples of Christ. Let's look at what the book of Acts teaches us about this. If you haven't read the chapter of acts before, I recommend that you do so. And you see that, you see some of the things that have happened. As the apostles waited in Jerusalem, as they were told. And the word of God says that they would go and make disciples where? And to all nations. And in addition, they go ahead and say, pardon me. They talk about the permanent coming of the Holy Spirit, and they talk about the power, which the word literally translates to dynamite, that they would kindle the world with the flame of the good news of Christ. And this happens on the day of Pentecost, which was an important feast for the Jews. This was the harvest celebration. And what a perfect God that in the day when the Jews celebrated the harvest, he sends them the spiritual harvest. That shows the Lord's power and also his majesty in him planning. Also, all the disciples of Christ were filled with the Holy Spirit and granted them the ability to speak in other tongues and draw the attention of, also to show the greatness of God to the Jews and converts of Judaism. We know that many of the people who were there were not just Jews and Gentiles, but those who were there spoke many different languages. And they would go ahead, and they would hear the apostles speaking in tongues and speaking in other languages, and this would grab their attention. And what does Peter do? He shares the word of salvation, and he talks about how the word and how this message has come for the entire world to be saved, whether they be Gentile or Jew. And he gives them the message of how everyone has been the reason that Christ came, the reason that Christ was killed, and the reason that Christ had to die was because of all of our sin. And we see in chapter 2 what Peter said to them in verse 38 and 40. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." The conviction of their spiritual state led them to action. And do you know what happened? Look in chapter 2, verse 41. What happens? They received the word. Those who listened to the word and who heard it received it. They said, "Yes, I want to repent. Yes, I want to change my life. I want to turn around and convert. I want to turn around. And I want to make this change." And what else happens? They were baptized. They made a public declaration of their faith, just as they had been called. This was not a private act. This was not done in private homes. This was done in the public places. There was a place where the Jews bathed for ceremonial cleansing, and that is exactly where the disciples went to be baptized and recognize and proclaim that the Lord was their Savior, saying, "I am a follower of Christ." They were not fearful of this. They knew the risks of saying it, but they went ahead and say, "I don't believe in Judaism, I believe in Christ." And they were made members of the church. They committed themselves to being part of the community of believers. This is truly the a wonderful beginning for many of these disciples of Christ. So first we see that they believed the word and that they went ahead confessing their faith with baptism. And we have these opportunities in grace to become part of the church on the 15th and the 22nd with classes and membership. And we see later in this same chapter, we see that there's this promise not just for those who are close to us, but for those who are far off. This means all of the people who are far away from God. It's for them just as much as it's for us. There is no one. There is no one to whom the word of God does not apply. And Peter goes ahead talking about be saved from this perverse generation. These are disciples of the church. These are the beliefs of the disciples of the church. These are the people who believe the word and become baptized and become part of the church. And we're going to go ahead and look in verse 42. What does it say? That they persevere. This word is very interesting. Persevere. It indicates effort, discipline, perseverance, and consistency. Doing something even when you don't have the desire to do it anymore. I recently ran my 6th marathon, and everything went well up until the 19th mile. And on the 19th mile, they started all of these ups and downs and ups and downs. And getting to the 20th mile, I just didn't know if I could do it. My mind just started telling me that it wasn't possible. The 23rd and 24th mile, even the 25th, my body was saying, no, no more. I stopped a couple times, and I literally thought I was going to have to push myself from my back in order to continue. My mind said, yes, yes, I want this. And my body said, no, 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 I can't. And even if I have to crawl across the finish line, I'm going to do it. That is what I told myself. And that was perseverance. I finished it, but there wasn't much. Perseverance is when my daughter, at 2 years old, asked me the same question over and over again for 40 minutes straight, even though I didn't pay attention to her and I didn't answer her. That is perseverance. A couple of you will understand what I'm talking about. They persevered in all these things. But what things did they persevere? What did these new believers have to persevere in? One of the first things is the first thing that they persevered was in the doctrine of the apostles, the word of the Lord, the instruction. These are the people who had learned of Jesus and things that they were learning from the apostles. And they persevered and practiced the words and the teaching. And as time passed, they also used the Old Testament for instruction. Eventually, this instruction and doctrine that they were studying, that they were learning, makes up most of what we study today in the New Testament. It's the foundation of our faith. If we don't know what we believe, we can't share it with someone. If we haven't learned something, we can't teach it to someone else. And many times we hold back from trying to talk to someone because we don't understand the word ourselves. We don't understand the message. A church that doesn't understand what it believes is a weak church. It's a church that stays in its infancy. These believers persevered in the word. It means reading it. It implies studying it fully in its full depth. That's why we try and have an emphasis here in Grace Española and in Grace Community of studying the Word. Being disciples and making disciples involves being dedicated to the Word of God. You cannot share something that you do not know and do not live. That is why it's important that you are persevering in the Word of God. This is why we offer opportunities in the church to study and apply it apart from just the weekly services. There's a group of four women here in the church. I'm not going to say who, but they have made a commitment to attend all of the classes of instruction. But they've made a decision to go ahead and do it even if they don't get breakfast. But I love this because I love this spirit that says I am responsible for doing what is right for the Lord. That is this attitude of taking up the responsibility and taking the charge upon yourself. What the disciples are doing here, and this is what we must do as well. And in your worship guide, you have a list of about 10 things that you can look at and observe and see that they are things that you can do in order to try and grow in your faith during this coming year. Number two, what does it say? It says, in communion with one another. This is fellowship. Fellowship is spending, sharing our lives with others. This isn't just spending time with other people and eating donuts. Even though that can be good, this is more than that. Nor is it just being with your favorite group of people. The word that it uses, koinonia, which is based in communion. And in this group, in this original group in Acts, there were more than 10 names represented there. And it was not about what language they spoke. They were there united in Christ, united in the desire to be serving Christ. And it was this communion that they shared. That is what we have to learn from. There were more than 1,000 people there. Many of them were Jews. The church was multi-ethnic. It was multilingual. Many of them lived in Jerusalem and were poor. Some of them were a little bit more, had a few more resources, a few more economic resources. And they were there together, learning together, growing together. And this is how they knew of the needs of others. Only when you can be communion with each other can you know the needs of those who are around. This is the type of communion and of community, of companionship and fellowship that we want here in Grace Espanol. We want to have these fellowships, times of fellowship in homes, in the church, and in public places. We want to share our lives, building each other up and helping each other mutually. God did not command us to live the Christian life alone. He put us in a family that He created, His family, and it's the church. And if we do not have fellowship with other brethren in the faith, it's not God's fault. It's whose fault? It's our fault. And many times, what is happening when we're by ourselves, we come along these crises, and we don't know what to do, and we tell people, well, I don't have friends. It's the church's fault. How is that possible? If we have fellowship, this is where we are going to see the needs of the church and the needs of others, and we can pray and we can share our material goods in our small groups, and where new believers come and become a part of our church. What else did they persevere in? They persevered in the breaking of bread, the Holy Supper. This is a time of reflection upon the sacrifice of Christ. Preaching to the world what the Lord had done. But this is not just something that we exclusively do Sunday of every month. The Holy Supper, breaking bread, was not just the only thing that we do together as a church. They are also persevering in prayer. The Jews had appointed times for prayer. They They followed a pattern and a temple schedule, praying in the morning, at noon, and at 3 in the afternoon. We see that in the temple, they kept up a type of schedule. But what we see in the book of Acts, and what we're going to continue seeing, is that the church was a church that persevered in prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us how to pray, and it's something that we live out today. And this is what our church must be as well, a church that prays in every moment, every day, no matter where you are. If you are in a home, if you are gathering in the church or in a public place, we must be praying. And what is the purpose of praying? It's aligning our will with the will of God, and telling the Lord, we want to do your will, we want to do what you have called us to do. It's not just so that God would give us things. It's so that we can go to the Lord and ask, what is your will? What is it that you have for us? Obviously, we need prayer in order to ask God for strength and order to share his word with those that we don't know. Verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And what I see, there are many things that you can gain from this, but what I see is really testifying that they were persevered in testifying about a life that transformed, that could be passed on to those directly surrounding the believers through miracles and signs. And then those believers would say, it is Christ that does these wonders. And we see clearly that it is this, it is through these miraculous occurrences and through the same power that God is transforming us and changing us. This is when the other people would gather around the disciples, and they would hear about the power of the Lord changing their lives, and they would be called to desire the same change in their life. And they would see clearly the transformative power of Jesus in their lives. Additionally, in perseverance, we see in verse 44 and 45 that this is something a little radical. But they were selling their possessions and their belongings, and obviously they received profits from this and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, continues the verse, as any had need. We must have a little understanding of the context of this time period. To become a believer in Jesus was to deny the Jewish religion, and therefore the believer was excluded from the Jewish community that they came from, and they were because the Jewish people in those days were so strict about these customs. The new believer was instantly ostracized and rejected from their Jewish community. So this means that becoming a part of the Church of Christ was to leave behind everything that they had known, everything that they were used to, and the community that they came from. And this is where the church steps in, giving generously to all of those who had need. I believe that if God has given us something, talents, a business, a capability, an ability, or anything that God has given us, this is not something so that we might have more money. This is so we can share it, to be generous, especially with those of the faith, those who also belong to the body of Christ. And the church is not a place where someone must say to someone else, well, business is business. No, I don't agree with that. This is an opportunity to minister to those to those around us. The passage goes on to say that there was no need among any of them. This must have included artists and professionals. There was a musician who died very young, in his 30s. He was very popular in the United States. I discovered his music a little before his death, when I came to know Christ. I loved how his music expressed the truth of God. This is some of the only music that I carry with me on my phone. And when I run, I don't really listen to a lot of music. But I remember listening to this man, and he became very famous. He was receiving a lot of money from his contract. But he decided after much prayer that he couldn't charge for a talent that God had given him. And so he continued to pray, and he didn't understand how he could continue to have this contract with the record company. And he went and talked to his manager, and he told them that he couldn't charge any longer for his concerts or charge for his records. And the manager was so impressed by this that he allowed him to break his contract. And now all the sales, directly afterwards, all the sales stopped, and he started telling people that the records were free, but that they could give whatever they wanted, and in fact, they gained in this way, people gave more money than they had been earlier before, and the concerts were free as well, but they would pass an offering plate, and he would say from the stage, if you have enough to give, please give. But if you don't have enough, you can take from the offering plate yourself. And I really admire this type of testimony. Because what we see is that in his life, and the ministry that God had given him, wasn't in order to gain something, it was in order to give. And this is a challenge for me. And it challenges me in my faith as well. I don't know, y'all are probably asking who it is. His name was Keith Green, and in fact his music has never gone out of style for me. I still listen to him, and I still moved by his mission and his desire to serve the Lord. How beautiful it would be if this generosity were a reality between us and the Church of Christ. We know the Grace community, our church is quite generous. But this is not just generosity between us, but generosity with everyone. If God has given you something, it is so that you might be generous. A little later in this year, in the same series this year, we're going to continue talking about generosity. But this is something that in which they were persevering. And we see later. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Another element that we see here is that they practiced unity, and not only were they united in order to be together, they were united wherever they were gathered, so that they might have, and they had unity together. You cannot have unity if you are not together. It's easy to not attend on Sunday mornings, but it is important in order that the church might have unity. The majority of them were getting together in churches, and it says that they were persevering of one accord, that they were eating together with joy and simplicity, this meaning without double intention, without envy, and without calculation of heart. They were searching for something, personal. I love that food is included here, because Hispanics love food. But this is part of their time together. Their time together was a time of unity, and it also says that they worshipped God, worshiping God. So this wasn't just a social time together. This was a time where they were worshiping the Lord, reading the Word, thanking God for what He'd done in their lives, expressing their gratitude through testimony, through prayer, and through the reading of the Word. And we see in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved, praising God and having favor with all the people. They had the favor of the entire people. The people looked at them and said, wow, what a testimony, this group of people, this church. This is our desire here in Grace, that our testimony, that our good testimony would be favorable, would be seen by the rest of Thailand. And we see that our lives are testimony to other people. When these priorities are reality in our lives, God uses us to bring others to faith in Christ and continues to add people to the church, producing growth. When these priorities are reality, the church grows. The church doesn't grow under a super gifted leader or leaders. The church grows because God gives growth when each one in the church lives as a disciple and makes disciples. And as we see, the church grew in homes, not in big buildings. You know, something else that's very interesting is that the time of greatest growth in the church was when there was the most persecution. In the time of the Roman Emperor Nero, the church met in secret. Obviously, they weren't getting a lot of new believers from the public. And they had to have signals and ways of knowing that the others were believers in order to test them. Did you know that in China right now, even though it is illegal to preach the gospel, there is more growth in the church, regardless of what the government is trying to do? Why is it growing? Why is the church growing? Because disciples are sharing the gospel, the good news, with other people. This is the reason. The Christians and disciples of Christ live as disciples, as testimony, as ambassadors, as missionaries. And this is what we see today, that this is our duty in order to live as disciples. And we must remember three things as His body. That we must live a life filled with the Holy Spirit because of the power that He has given us. We also see, number two, the preaching. We must proclaim the good news, the gospel of salvation, to all people, no matter what their language or their ethnic background or their culture or their social level. Additionally, number three, our priority is living in community, connected. We are connected to one another. And we see in verse 42 through 47 in Acts 2, that is our basis. We must look for ways to make these a daily reality in our lives as a church. We have opportunities to do this throughout the week through community groups, one-on-one discipleship, special activities, and there's more that we can do. Let's do this in our homes with others. Let's do it often and include people who have not believed in Christ so that they can see how beautiful the Christian community can be. That they can see our lives as disciples of Him, saying, that's what I want. I want to live a life like that. And we live our lives being and making disciples. When we live out these priorities in our lives, we will become revolutionary. And this group that we're reading about transform the world. And God is going to use us to transform not only this church, but the lives of many others outside of the church. Let's pray.